Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis, Brian Noonan, sitting in on this Good Friday. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. And this is, I'm very excited about our next guest.
Actually, Mark McKinnon of The Circus, inside The Greatest Political Show on Earth. If you haven't seen The Greatest Political Show on Earth, you need to watch it. It's on Showtime, and you can check local listings. You can also
get it on demand.
Which is what I'm doing. I'm catching up a little bit. And Mark, you'll appreciate this. Brian Noonan and his wife got hooked to the show by hearing you talk about it on this very station.
Yes, welcome, Mark. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for watching. Appreciate it.
Listen, this is fascinating. As I said, I heard about the show here on with Rowan when Rowan and Anna were talking to you, and we jumped in about after episode 3. Went back, watched the first 3 episodes, and even though we knew what the actual results were in real life, watching the access that you guys have had to all the candidates has been fascinating, and I can only imagine that, you know, as the weeks progress, it's going to get more and more unbelievable. In all your years, have you seen, this has been bandied about, but have you ever seen a campaign like this?
Nothing close. We just feel so, just dumb luck, really, that we chose this election cycle to do it. Because I started pitching this show like 12 years ago, and then I just got a green light, and it just happened to be great timing because, you know, if there's ever a circus, this is the one. And by the way, I'm glad to hear you say that you went back and watched the other ones and it was still good, because a big part of this show, I think, is that it's not only documentary style, but it's also, you know, close to real time. So it unfolds, right as the campaign is unfolding. But I'm glad to hear that even going back, that it retains some interest as well.
The recent episode talks about the narrowing of the field. I believe it's you pick things up as Rubio is losing Florida. I think you went out to try to interview him or one of his staffers, and nobody showed up. You talk about the pain of losing a campaign. And I know you also interviewed, there was an interview with Kasich you show where he seems a little uncomfortable. He wasn't so happy with the way things were going, and yet talked to you about a blazingly clear path to become the candidate.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about a lot of what we do is that we get to see sides of these candidates that you don't see in front of the camera with their talking points or in debates. You get to see a real human side. And the thing you mentioned with Kasich was one of my partners asked him a question about, we had thought about a theme for the week about being sort of Don Quixote, which was the candidates other than Trump and Clinton were kind of on Quixote-like quests. You know, they're tilting at windmills a bit. I mean, it's just a long shot. And Kasich didn't like that question at all.
He didn't.
No, he snapped back at our guy. And I get it. I get it. But that was just a very human moment. And, Kasich, one of the reasons I actually like Kasich is he's like that. You know, he's just kind of a guy who's turned inside out and he just wears everything on his sleeve. And, he doesn't cover up too much. And he's, so he barks now and then, which I think we all do. We all do from time to time, especially when you're trying to run for president, right?
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's on for sure. But and yet, talk about that, because a lot of people are saying, okay, why is he still in it? He says he stacks up best against Hillary Clinton. The polls seem to indicate that that's true. He says he's a moderate who can win the general election. But he really doesn't have the delegates, right? I mean, there's no mathematical way to get there. And a lot are saying that it's sort of a doomsday scenario for the GOP if you get all the way to the end and have a contested convention and then hand it over to somebody who's got so few delegates.
It's fascinating, really, because you're right. He cannot. There's no mathematical scenario where he can, even if he won every state the rest of the way, he wouldn't have enough delegates to win the convention. So his only hope is that nobody else, that Cruz or Trump, don't get a majority of the delegates and they go into the convention. Now, he would still, the most realistic scenario if that happened would be that Trump would, say, get 40% of the delegates. Cruz would get, say, 35 or 40% of the delegates, and he'd have 20. I mean, that's just realistically what would likely happen. But then his hope is that at that point, you go to a second and a third vote, is which what happens after the first vote, all the delegates are released and they can do whatever they want. And the idea, it's a real long shot, but the rationale is that at that point, people realize that Kasich is the best general election candidate. And by the way, he is. In all the polling against Clinton, Cruz loses to Clinton, Trump loses to Clinton, and Kasich beats her by like 10 points, which is really remarkable.
That's amazing.
So that's the scenario. It's a long shot, but it sure makes it interesting.
Yes, it does.
Mark McKinnon's our guest. He is the executive producer of Showtime's The Circus, Inside the Greatest Political Show on Earth. It airs Sundays on Showtime. All right, Mark, you've worked with a lot of candidates. You mentioned that John Kasich snapped back about the Don Quixote question. John Heilman was talking to Bernie Sanders. He also snapped back about the Don Quixote thing. You've worked with all these different candidates. You're talking to these people. Do they do they really believe deep down that they can overcome the math, or is it something they feel they have to say? Because if not, if they let any doubt creep in, why put up with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what you're saying, which is that they just believe it. You know, they get it in their heads, and they've been doing this for so long that they become victims of what I call confirmation bias, which is that they look for and retain only the information that makes their case, and they ignore everything else. But that's kind of what you have to do to be in the circus. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy game, and it's kind of strips you naked and humiliates you and runs you through the gauntlet, and that's what you have to do in order to be president.
You had a great interview at the very end of this last one where you talked to the son of Donald Trump. Is it Donald Trump Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, a very candid, somehow you get people to say very candid things and appear very relaxed, and it's not the type of stuff you see on all the cable news networks. He just was sitting, it looked like at a bar with you, and saying, look, people are vested in Trump. If the GOP doesn't embrace him, if he gets the delegates, people are going to have a real problem on their hands. And you sort of ended it there in a very poignant way, which I think you always seem to find something to tie the whole thing up. It's an interesting thing to talk about.
Well, thanks. Well, a lot of the characters in this, and part of the reason that I wanted to do this is to show viewers and voters that there are all these interesting other characters besides the candidates themselves. They're fascinating. Like in that same episode, there was a great scene with one of the campaign managers talking very candidly about their strategy.
Yeah, he loved his Mexican food, didn't he?
Yeah, right, right.
You get to see that.
I loved how serious he was. You know, he never broke character. Question, every question we asked him, no matter how outrageous, he'd say, yep, we're going to do it. Yep, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so two of the most interesting characters, my favorite characters the whole season that we've talked to are Jane Sanders and Donald Trump Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ran into him in Elko, Nevada, in the middle of nowhere during the Nevada caucuses. And he had just come out for the first time the first time he was publicly speaking on behalf of his father. So it was the first time in the national spotlight, you know, in that glare. And that's a pretty, you know, nerve-wracking exercise. And it was so I just ran into him in the middle of nowhere out there. And it was interesting to see him do it for the first time. But I just ran into him kind of backstage and had one of the most disarming, genuine conversations I've had with anybody during this whole show. He was down to earth, couldn't have been nicer, and by the way, was really good. I mean, just smooth, articulate, compelling, interesting. So, you know, you, no matter what your sort of thoughts are about Donald Trump, I always think if people raise good kids, that there's got to be something going on there that's working out, you know?
Mark, you mentioned about one of the allures of this show is that it's very close to real time. So the new episode that's coming on Sunday is Home and Abroad, and you talk to the candidates about their reaction to what happened in Brussels. You don't have to give too much away, but maybe there's something that surprised you. And also, will the, going back to never seeing a campaign like this, will the attacks between Cruz and Trump on their wives, will that all be in an upcoming episode?
Well, the thing that we really focus on this week is I was with Hillary Clinton on the road, and this is just by circumstance. I was with her this week, and Mark and John were with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago when all of this happened in Brussels. So we have a real-time, what we call TikTok. I mean, we're right there as it's happening, so we see the events unfolding, and we get to see how the candidates and their staffs are reacting to the events as they happen, and which is great for voters because, you know, this is what you want to see how potential presidential candidates handle a real crisis. So, and by the way, they handled it completely differently, both in substance and in style. So as you'll see through the show, the whole Brussels bombing was a real magnifying glass into both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and how they deal with international events. And it's telling and fascinating and compelling.
What about talk about the Bernie Sanders situation here. You feature him prominently, and I know Jane, I love Jane. I mean, you've introduced me to Jane in a way I didn't know her in any other way, and she's just a very likable, a very smart woman. But talk about, you sat down with him and had a little soul-to-soul discussion as well on the circus, and you kind of said, hey, you know, you talked about delegate math again and that kind of thing, but they're saying that the second half of this race is going to favor Bernie. Winning the majority of the pledged delegates is difficult, and absolutely, we see that. path, and yet within the context of your show, you also, at one point, someone pointed out, stick a fork in it, it's over, it's just Trump, and it's just Hillary.
Yeah, well, Bernie Sanders is, again, a very just... It's sort of in the same way Kasich is. It's you, what you see is what you get. You know, mm-hmm. he's kind of a gruff guy, but it's very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
Absolutely.
Compelling. But here's what I think is the bottom line on Sanders is that he believes that. I mean, he's sort of led on to say that, you know, okay, you know, maybe the delegate math is very tough, but I believe that we have created a real movement here. As a result of our candidacy, even if we don't win, we have had a huge impact on the nature of the Democratic primary and where the debate has been and I've driven a focus on the issues that I want to talk about. And the longer that I stay in the race, the more we talk about those issues that I want to talk about. So, you know, the very clear message that I got watching that is he said, I'm going to take this thing right to the convention. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to the very last
yeah.
state. I'm going to get every delegate I can get. And by the way, he's still getting huge crowds and raising a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So in their view, why not just keep going?
Yeah, like you guys said last week, as long as there's money, you just keep going.
Yeah, as long as you can put fuel in the gas tank, just keep your foot on the accelerator.
Exactly.
Spoken like a true campaign manager.
Definitely. Mark, it has been a pleasure talking to you. We will talk to you again next week. Keep up the great work. The show is phenomenal. And if you haven't seen The Circus Inside, the greatest political show on earth, you got to catch up. It's on Showtime on Sunday nights. Mark, good talking to you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for having me. Kick it hard, you guys.
Take care. I'm going to kick it hard.
I
like
great
that.
Texan
kick
expressions.
It hard.
I just love it.
Man, I don't know what we're supposed to kick hard.
No, but we'll
just
go ahead. Just don't kick Judy hard.
No.